Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life listener style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Masevich, one of the diners here at the Transformation Cafe. So glad for you to join us tonight. Just a reminder again for those people that are listening through the computer, you can call 646-727-3206. Or if you'd like to go into our chat room, we have it at blogtalkradio.com/Transformation Cafe. So we can go ahead and get that chat room going. And you can also go to show@transformationcafe.com, and it's another place that you can get a hold of us. So, and with all that, we wanted to thank Miss Kathy. She's helping us with the switchboard tonight. Hey, Kathy, how's it going? And would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Kathy Elliott, and I bring you gifts of happiness, joy, and laughter, and I'll be passing them out throughout the show.
All right. I'm looking forward to the joys and laughter. That's cool, too. And we also have Miss Marvine. Marvine, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Marvine Lindberg, and I do multiple things. I'm just here to hang out and give input.
There she goes. But joy and laughter and input. There we go. Okay. And Miss Gloria's in the house. Hey, Miss Gloria, how's it going?
Hi, it's going great. Good to be here.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we had already started our conversation tonight, and I was like, ooh. I was wishing a lot of it would stay actually on the air, but that's okay. We're already very concerned with our hearts and just with spirit on all the different things that are happening with Mother Earth, and started talking about the current situations, which is in Russia. And Marvin, would you give us an update again on what we were talking a little bit before we got on the air about that?
Well, the wildfires in Russia are taking a huge toll, but I also think that the upside of that is right now they're up to 15. They're talking a $15 billion heat wave, and losses. And their economy, and I think ultimately what it is, again, it's another wake-up call for people to start pulling together and appreciating it.
Okay, we got a little bit of feedback. I'm not sure if it was if somebody had a Bluetooth on or something like that. We'll try to get that taken care of because it can be a nuisance for people to hear the echo. Oh, there it went away. Okay, whatever that happened, that was good.
I had a headset on. I've got a headset on.
Oh, your headset. Okay, so probably with the headset. There's the echo. So, we're very concerned about that. And still got the echo. So, Ms. Marvine, we were actually sharing with each other today about that, just kind of getting used to what we were going to be talking about tonight. Marvine, what's your spiritual perspective about all that?
I don't know that this is my headset. Let me switch and see if the phone is any better. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Are we still getting it? Yep.
A little bit, yeah.
No, it's not my headset. It's technical problems. So would you repeat the question?
I was just asking your spiritual perspective, what you think what's happening with all the situations in Russia.
Well, I think it's not just Russia. There seems to be things happening all over the globe. As a matter of fact,
Marvine, are you there?
I'm back.
Oh, okay. That was interesting. It kind of cut off. So.
Yeah, you lost me.
We're supposed to have that on the air. We weren't supposed to have that on the air. Okay, that was interesting. Okay,
I don't know if Marvine is back, but you lost me for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Marvine, are you there?
Oh. No, she's not there.
She's not there. Okay. Well, maybe she can come back on again. So I think she was trying to work with her headset, and basically something got disconnected. So that's, well, hopefully she'll come back on the air again. So, Gloria, what's your perspective on it?
I missed the first part of the question because I was gone.
Okay, we were talking about just the spiritual aspects of what we were thinking about was with Russia, and Marvin started talking about how she felt it was just not an isolated thing with Russia. It's pretty much just a global calling for the shifting and changing that's been happening. And we had been sharing before we got on the air about just a kind of a real calling out on a spiritual level for people to be joining on a different level. And you were talking about the 9/11 situation where with that all came about. So.
Well, the Earth, as it goes through its higher vibrational levels, is going to be going through its flux a lot faster. And so not only do we have an opportunity to see an issue, but we also have an opportunity to pose a question and to find a solution and or way in which we are participating in that. So from a spiritual perspective, it's more about how we are present on a body, mind, heart, and soul level. We have the emotional and the spiritual aspects that we contribute, and on a vibrational space, what we project out into the universe and what we project out into our world, it reverberates. And so whether it's a thought or a heartfelt just appreciation of other people and other countries and their circumstances, and sending them the love, not sending them the distress. You know, the idea of moaning over something and having grief over it sends more moaning and grief into the world. So sending love, I'm sorry?
There's a lot of that going on right now, too.
Which part?
People being unhappy, being frightened.
Right. And what people don't recognize is that what they send out gets magnified. And it's just, you know, you have National Holocaust Day once a year, and all of these people who send out this grief from National Holocaust, it's amazing. Can you only imagine what the souls are getting beyond this existence? I mean, can you imagine the sorrow that they feel? That's not helping them, not helping them at all. Remembering them with kindness and love, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We talked about a little, Gloria was great about talking about 9/11 and how for 6 months after we had that event that everyone really looked at one another. Everyone was very much connected with each other. We all looked at each other, you know, eye to eye. And there was definitely just a different level of connection, and that slowly went away again after everybody had shifted, I guess, from just the trauma of having that all happen to us as a nation and actually throughout the world. So it's interesting.
Yeah, because people were looking at other people and recognizing them as fellow human beings. And then people got caught up in their day-to-day survival process again and started ignoring their neighbors for the most part. I think there's a residual that remains that wasn't there before, but it's not at that same level of where it was.
Yeah, yeah. And there's been a lot of political and just all different levels of things that have really taken away. Because I can remember 9/11, and when that happened, I was just in such a place of course, horror for having that actually occurring to us, but yet on a spiritual level, I so remember that there was just this level of knowing that it was so much bigger than any of us could imagine what the gift of all those souls choosing to leave at that time on the planet and the significance of that and how it was really impacting us on a level we couldn't even imagine in those moments when it was occurring.
Right.
You know,
and go ahead.
Well, what's interesting with that is when you take a look at the people that were flying those airplanes, that was their last kick at the cat, if you will, or their last feeling of power, because all of their other power had been taken away from them,
mm-hmm.
from their various countries, their various religions. And so for them, their power was in what they thought they were doing. and it was at the cost of their own life and the lives of others. And that is certainly not condoned in any one of the major religions of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and where I was at that time, I woke up and I had a roommate, and the person is considers themselves to be very religious, and I woke up and they were just in disgust. They were in horror. They were in, you know, absolute anger. And I looked at them, and my first reaction was one of peace, believe it or not. And I told this person, I said, you know, I said, if anything, you should be sending love to these people who committed this atrocity, because of their conditioning and their cultural norms, they believe that what they did was correct, and sending them love is the best way to heal it. And I went and did a meditation, and at the beach, I was called to go do a meditation, and I sat down, and what I had a vision of as I was doing this was, it was almost like the reverse of an atom bomb, and it was sending out the energy of pink. There was just this big pink plume that erupted, and it just covered the entire planet. It was just an amazing experience for me.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Maravine? Did you sense anything on a spiritual level with that when it was occurring? I'm sure you did. So.
Oh, I did, because I was on my way to work. It was about 5:30 in the morning, something along, mm-hmm. around that time, and I made several phone calls, and I said, you guys need to wake up. This is serious this time. And
mm-hmm.
I was totally aware of the shock and the disbelief that the people would have as the reality of that set in. And, you know, the hard part for me was the fact that I knew on a different level that it was happening for a reason. It didn't mean I agreed with it or condoned it, but that in and of itself shows just how precious and how vulnerable life can be, and how we need to respect and cultivate it, not out of fear, but
mm-hmm.
out of honoring we have the potential to do wonderful, great things in creation, and yet somehow just a handful of people can screw things up real good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we need to put more energy into the constructive, creative end of it, because the one thing you did see is the people all pulling together. I immediately went into not only a prayer mode, but in an energy mode for all the people left behind trying to cope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big, too. And I worked at that time, I was working in a major hospital system. And literally, they just could not grasp or get what was really going on.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was Kathy and I have both been getting messages from an organization that's putting together Earth Healing Day. And it's going to be this coming Sunday on August 15th. And it's called the Om Heard Around the World. And what they're really asking is everyone within their own time zones, from noon to 1 o'clock during your time zone, just dedicate a time of focusing on healing and cleansing the earth through your prayer or meditation or chanting, whatever resonates with you, and sharing love for the planet, sending love out on you know, loving the earth, loving creatures, loving, you know, our fellow man, loving on every level of what that can be. And so their goal is to just have this a continual thing for 24 hours. So with each time zone, with each time zone, everyone is being asked to go ahead and have just that consciousness just heightened on a certain level for that hour of the day. Yeah, let me go ahead and give the address real quick. So if people are interested in that, they can go to, it's called healingearthday.com, and you can actually go there, and it has some more information where you can actually You can do a sign-up where it has an e-newsletter there. You can even host a small group if you'd like to, and they'll make sure that you have all the information that you need and become an organizer for the partnerships and things like that. So all kinds of different things they have for downloads. It's all free, and it's basically just creating things. And I really liked the bottom of it. It was saying becoming a part of the solution. And it had a quote from Mahatma Gandhi, a small body, determined spirits, fired by an unquenchable faith in their mission, can alter the course of human history. And we know through him and his wisdom and his acts of nonviolence how much that was just moving through the world. So just really want to encourage that, too. They're also showing a couple places that are going to be participating was Aurora, Colorado, and Medford, Oregon, are two places that have committed to having groups that are going to be involved with that too. So just a kind of suggestion on that, because this is from what we've been discussing, this is definitely the direction we want to be going with, having that OM and just love and healing being something that's just a constant thing. And we all know that prayer changes things. So I just wanted to put that out there with our conversation.
I would like to add or adjust that if you choose not to be part of a group or you don't understand what meditation, quote unquote, is, or are not comfortable with those types of things, if you can just appreciate something in your own personal environment, your own trees, your own something beautiful in your home, because that energy is the same energy, and that energy conducts. And what they're trying to do is conduct an experiment with energy for lack of a better word, positive or loving vibration all over the world. And there's got to be something around each individual that they genuinely love and care about. It could be their pet. It could be food. It could be anything.
And Marvin, I'd like to add that in addition to that aspect of appreciation, that if you take it to the next level and escalate it to a sense of gratitude for what you have, that will also to help magnify that sense of emotion.
Right.
Yeah, gratitude and just this place of loving and gratitude are the highest vibrations that we really can generate on the planet. So it's I've actually been practicing that lately. I'll be looking around when I'm like, oh, I love the way the light is hitting that grass right now. I like that. I love that. And just keep looking for little things within my awareness of things that I can appreciate at a different level, and just recognize that. And just very simple things. It doesn't have to be this big profound thing, because it's all those small things. And just milking that on a level that I love this and I love that and I appreciate this and I appreciate that, and how it gets to be just a process of being able to just allow that to just be a way that you're thinking and moving through the world. So it definitely can change things. So it can be a very wonderful process with all that. So,
It's really great, because as you appreciate the things around you, they actually become friends to you.
Exactly. And just
you
just
start
have
looking
a more
at
friendly
life differently.
Life is looking different from you. You know.
Well, you start looking at the life, the life force within the things that are living around you, whether it be an insect or an animal or a plant, anything that's growing and living, and you start to recognize and appreciate the life force in it, and all of a sudden the life force is surrounding you and you don't feel as alone as you might otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one thing when you start really looking around the world at a different level. You're not alone, that's for sure. We're constantly surrounded by beautiful, wonderful things if we can really kind of open our awareness to things like that. So,
take city dwelling energies to another level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, city dwelling with a friendly perspective.
In the middle of the mountains and away from all of the people, and you're surrounded by all of this life, and all of a sudden you're busier than if you were in a city with all the hubbub and the bustle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Cap?
It's good to be me.
It's good to be me. There you go. It's good to be me. Yeah. We actually had a conversation about that the other day. And that's another place of just starting with yourself. And, you know, when we love ourselves and appreciate the small contributions that we make every day and really recognize that we are, that's another way of just really looking at the life from a very profound yet simple way. And really, to me, that's what Spirit's all about. It's
it's the small, simple things that really are the most profound.
Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And that is, goes towards every individual because we all make a difference and we can make a giant difference if we truly wrap our minds around it.
Okay. So just want to invite everybody to be sending love to Russia, be sending love to China, be sending love to a lot of these other areas of the world that are being shifted and changed, knowing that it is serving a higher purpose that we don't necessarily understand, but yeah, just asking for grace that we could understand what that would be on some level and being able to move through that. And there's also going to be a Presidio meteor shower, which is actually going to be happening the 12th and 13th. So coming up real quick here in the next couple of days, there's supposedly, depending on where you're at, if you can get out of the light pollution at night, you could see up to 400 meteors, you know, the smaller meteor showers per hour. They're saying it's one of the highest concentrations of meteors that they've had come through our area for quite some time. It's from the comet Swift-Tuttle, which was discovered in 1862. And last time it was observed, it was in 1992. And it takes about 130 years for it to orbit around the sun, and it's back again. So it's a very interesting time to know that we're having showers and things like that coming through. If you go to space.com, there's a sky watching ability there that you can actually see some of these showers and things like that through the clear sky. And like I said, with the sky watchers, a meteor per minute, depending on the observing conditions. So it's a wonderful opportunity, and it only comes around every 130 years. So there you go. You might want to check that out.
So we'll travel to Death Valley. We'll travel to
Death Valley,
or we'll head out to Arizona.
Or just go outside Victorville or Barstow or something. Huh?
Yeah.
Is there any internet site that's watching it that we can watch it on?
Oh, I'm sure there is. And, you know, just go ahead. Actually, let me give you the name. The proper name on this thing is P-E-R-S-E-I-D, Persid, I guess. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce
it again.
That. Meteor shower. P-E-R-S-E-I-D.
Oh, S-I-D is preside.
S-E-I-D, yeah. Persid, I think. Yeah. They're actually calling it... They're basically calling it like little fireballs that are coming out of the sky. So they're going to start at about 10 o'clock at night. Huh?
It should be on YouTube.
Yeah, it should totally be on YouTube. You know, we're going to have to get the waiter to get us some special meteor shower appetizers. That would be awesome. How about that?
When is this going to happen?
It's supposed to happen from the 12th and the 13th of August, so it's coming up very, very quickly. So it's going to be in the next...
Champagne fountain?
Is that a champagne fountain? Yeah, girl. That's like sparkles.
Okay.
It's like we're talking fireworks in the sky. You know, this is going to be going for it here.
Wait, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anytime you can get away from any kind of major light pollution, it's going to be good. He says, okay, the fireballs will start occurring at about 10 o'clock at night. And they're going to be low in the sky near the Earth's atmosphere at about 70 miles above the town of Paint Rock. And Paint Rock is out of Alabama, I think he's talking about. It appears at 9.5 degrees above the horizon for a comparison. And he says your fist held, just like if you put your fist out from your arm's length, if you were standing on the, you know, like out by the horizon, it's roughly going to be 10 degrees of the night sky. It kind of gives you an idea of being able to do that, so. And he said the meteors are going to be coming at 134 miles per hour into the atmosphere. How do they know that? That's kind of amazing that they would even know that. That's interesting.
Well, they probably measure the speed of light.
I mean, if we can do GPS and figure out where the heck I am with a satellite, I guess I can figure out how fast these suckers are going, you know?
If they calculate the speed of light, then they're going to be able to do a reverse calculation.
Right. So it's pretty good. He says, at such a tremendous velocity, the meteors cut a path at about 65 miles per long and then finally burning up at about 56 miles up by the lake and stuff like that. So just be looking out for some meteor showers. They should be out there coming through coming through our atmosphere. So that's very exciting.
See, they're heralding my birth.
There you go. They're heralding your birth. Yeah, Miss Gloria's birthday is going to be at the end of next week, so we're very excited about that. So there you go.
Yeah, it's
plans to be celebrating with that. Yes, we're very excited. So on that note, I think we should just go over to Manhattan and we'll start dumpster diving. We can go into the pool. Have you guys seen about the they've got dumpster pools now in Manhattan?
Oh, somebody's supposed to send me a picture of that, but they forgot.
Yes, I was actually looking to see if I could get that taken care of, and it didn't happen with my stuff. So,
well, you know, there's been a group of people for the longest time that have gone out and salvaged things that people have been throwing away, and people, you know, utilize them to live quite well.
Oh yeah, these are refabbed garbage dumpsters, and they're calling them pop-up pools. So it's this guy that started inventing them actually last year in New York, and they're actually closing off Park Avenue for the next three Saturdays, so starting this Saturday and going through the end of August. And they've got like six or seven of these dumpsters that have been refabbed. They're padded, and then they have a regular pool lining inside of them, and they have a deck that goes all the way around the outside of it. And about 10 people can get into one dumpster at a time. There you go.
That sounds really exciting, too, doesn't it? I'd love to sit in a dumpster with you girls and guys and have just a great evening. We could have appetizers
there,
in the dumpster.
You know,
and
I'll sit on the sidelines and watch you guys. I'll be here. Bye.
Well, I was wondering if you could actually do dumpster diving, but they say they don't allow that because it's only about 3 feet deep. So they're not allowing you to do any dive. There's no diving. They won't let you do that.
Hey, you know, you could incorporate a trampoline with that and really have a great.
Yeah, the trampoline maybe because as long as you're going straight in, that would be okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
I would probably miss.
Yeah.
The trampoline.
Yeah, we don't want that happening.
No,
yeah.
On the trampoline, if I jumped. Who knows where I'd land?
No, I mean the trampoline in the pool.
We could do cannonballs, though. We could do some cannonballs, but this thing has 4,600 gallons of water. Can you believe that? 4,600 gallons? Yeah, I know.
So
for
what
a dumpster, that's like a heck of a lot of water, man.
What are they going to do with all that water when they're done? I mean, we're talking conservation here, people.
Well, and it's chlorinated water, and it weighs approximately 50,000 pounds.
I hope they're going to use that water for good use.
Yeah, but my guess is on a regular basis, and they probably filter it, and they probably just keep reusing it.
Yeah, it's a filtered system. It has a
filter. So we're talking a swimming pool.
Yeah.
It's like a little baby swimming
pool.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
Oh my God, they've got to have I was just reading materials on a pool, licensed pool operators, and how important it is. They had a system where there was this university in, I think it was in New York, Rochester, that I guess one of the presidents liked to go fishing in this one stream. And there was this one college that they had this guy operating their pool, and he didn't really know what he was doing. He wasn't licensed. They're trained. And they had installed new equipment, and he kept putting chlorine in, and he kept checking it, and it kept saying that the vials were empty, so he kept adding more chlorine. And finally, he got to a point where he's just like, okay, well, I'm not fixing this. I'm just going to drain all of the water. And he contacted the resources, the sewage department, I guess, or the water control department, and they said, well, you need to release it slowly so that we're not overwhelmed with the amount of water that's coming through to be processed. Turns out that all of this chlorinated water, 90 parts per meter, it's like ppm,
mm-hmm.
90 parts went into the local river, and they couldn't figure out why all of a sudden all these fish were dying because they were getting chlorine poisoning.
Wow. There you go.
It's like, okay, if they're going to fill this stuff with water, I hope that they're having somebody responsible taking care of the processing of it.
Well, like, let's hope so, too, because they're saying they actually got about, let's see, I'm looking at my information here. They were saying they had about 10,000 people go through on a weekend with all these different pools and stuff that they have going on. So there's definitely a lot of people, you know, going for the pool party. There you go. You know.
I wonder what their liability factors are. If you have a community swimming pool, you know, and in the city, no doubt, they probably don't have as many facilities as they do for people, and so it's probably very advantageous. But what's their liability issue? What's their insurance rates like? I mean, going into
all of the details.
They
don't cover that in the article, so we're not sure about that. So they're more thinking of the comedy of having a Grand Central Station, and people are coming out from Grand Central Station. These people are, you know, basically sitting around in their pool. They basically got their little rubber duckies, and they're having the pool party. So there you go.
Yeah, personal interest stories.
Exactly. But they said that they're code compliant with the pools, and that it's a great way for helping people to keep cooled off when it's so hot outside. So it's a way of being able to do that. So the guy who invented this, his name is David Belt, and the first one he created was last year in Brooklyn, and it was the first dumpster pool. And they say that they've already got San Francisco and Austin, Texas, and Singapore are all interested in doing projects like this for next summer. So he's already got
the next thing that they're going to do is they're going to have contests on who can decorate which one better.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah, because I could just see this on the, you know, the DIY, and they're decorating their pools. Yeah, exactly. There's also saying at the end of this, what?
Marvin went to the little girl's room, and Bruce joined us.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Bruce.
Yep, I'm
hey,
here.
Well, and,
hi, everybody.
And you could, you could just see the outside of these things being the future Wylands of the world going around and decorating the outside of these things.
Well, I could totally see them on some level with a. Do you know what we're talking about, Bruce?
I've been listening.
Okay. We got these pop-up pools. They're taking refabbed dumpsters and having them in Manhattan. There you go. So they're having pool parties. They said at the end of the summer they're going to have an East Harlem end of the summer party for the junior high and high school students, because all of them are going to get moved to the Harlem High School there, and they're going to have a pool party before the school starts. School year really starts. So there you go. That's something kind of interesting for the pop-up pool. So, you know. You know, look forward to that in a larger city near you. There we go. Well, you know, and a mother intervention, you know, here we have heat waves, and what are we going to do with that to keep people healthy and safe? We're going to create pool parties. So that's pretty cool. And I love the fact they're doing refabbed, dumpsters. That's awesome. That's very, very awesome. So looking forward to that, too. So that's good. So,
a new industry.
Yeah, a whole new industry. Well, and it just shows a different level of vision and what they're doing with everything. So they also had a thing on today about there was a British soldier officer that retired, and after his retirement, he decided he was going to walk the full length of the Amazon. And this guy wanted to, I think it took him over 2 years, and it was 4,200 miles that he walked to fully go from the beginning of the Amazon River to the other side. I just thought that was just an awesome story of just, you know, having a dream and wanting to complete that. And they were showing, he's got three or four different spaces on YouTube where he's actually in the water walking, because of the way that the, depending on the time of year with the river rising, that basically he needed to be in the water to basically keep on his path and his lessons on the path kind of thing. So I just thought that.
So which area of the Amazon has piranha?
I do not know. Apparently he didn't get there because he didn't get eaten by piranha. He survived. And
did they even have piranha in the Amazon?
Yeah,
did they have piranha in the Amazon, or is they in Africa?
No, I think they have some there. I don't know. That would be a good question. We need to ask our waiter that. You know, not that we
Bruce,
want to eat
do you know?
Them, you know?
Well,
yeah.
It sounds dangerous to me too. This does not sound like a walk in the park. And
no. There's
all sorts of critters and waterborne diseases and all this kind of stuff, and it sounds very adventurous.
Yeah, very adventurous. Well, like I said, he was a soldier in the British Army and had decided that it was something that he wanted to pursue, and he was able to accomplish that. So
I know. He got the book called The Art of Zenku, written by a military brat from the British military who now lives in Singapore. This guy's book was incredible. So
oh,
I'm sure
really?
He had it as a field copy, yes.
Oh, okay. It was Amazon for Dummies, right?
It's the intergalactic...
The Amazon Trail for Dummies, you know. No.
It's called The Intergalactic Traveler's Guide, The Art of Zenku. Yes.
Mhm. Like, you know, a lot of us have looked over that whole manual. There you go. Very interesting stuff. So Mr. Bruce is with us. Hey, Mr. Bruce, how's it going?
Hi, Robin. I'm good. I've had a good week. It's been a good month to just relax and try to get a lot of projects done before September starts.
Cool. Now, last week, just to kind of get our listeners up to speed, if they weren't here with us last week, Bruce has been visiting us the last few weeks, which has been wonderful. We've been learning all kinds of wonderful things about body testing, different things about what different diseases and just different conditions can say about us. We talked about cancer one night. We also talked about, what else did we talk? What was that first night where we talked about?
Well,
that?
We just did cancer, diabetes, and homeostasis. We got into homeostasis.
Okay, yeah. And then last week we were talking about homeostasis, and then we were asking him to come back and kind of give us the 2.1 version. So what did you want to talk about tonight with that?
Well, I'd like to start here. Our bodies are talking to us, and the real question is, are we listening?
Okay.
And that's where I'm starting a lot. Hold on, I'm on the wrong thing here. Yeah. So our cells know how to be healthy by themselves. Our cells are born healthy. Just like any human baby that has a healthy birth outcome is a happy baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so our cells are all happy babies as long as their birth outcomes are good. So then all the cells have DNA, and unlike us, they know right where their DNA is. They know where their DNA is the same way we know where our ears are. And that's the analogous organ for ears are to us the way DNA is to cells. So they actually can listen back into their divinity through their DNA. And so since every cell knows where that is, the cells really have no problem reconnecting with their own DNA, with their own divinity. And within that, of course, is vitality and abundance and all those other things that we'd like to have consciously. So on their own, cells do not get sick. Health is their default function. And that's the way they're designed by the angels. So then the real question is, why do we get sick then? How do we become unhealthy in our body and cells? And I'm wondering if any of you have any ideas about that.
You guys have any ideas, Gloria? What do you think?
Yeah. Cells are always healthy. How do we ever become sick? How's that happen?
Gloria?
Dead silence.
Well, I was gonna say because if we get stressed, we allow just our activities of every day to get us caught up in a place where we just have a lot of chatter and a lot of stress and a lot of worry.
Wait a minute. What, if the cells know how to be healthy, why don't they just fix that?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah,
yeah.
How come, Bruce? How come they just don't fix it? Yeah.
Well, the truth is the cells do fix that when the stress is low enough for them to handle it, because the cells are physical. But
uh-huh.
Human beings are not just physical. Human beings are primarily mental and emotional, primarily invisible. That's what makes us human. So we overpower ourselves with stress, and most of that is mental and emotional. And so the cells can put up with so much, they can handle so much, the immune system can handle so much, and then it says, that's it, that's all I can take. So the reason we get sick is that the cells are overburdened with more stress and more negativity than they can handle.
Okay.
So in a way, our cells are very much like plant cells. In Rudolf Steiner's topics, you can learn that that plant cells only get sick from things in the environment or from nutritional deficiencies. There is no other way for plants to become sick. And this is useful if you're ever trying to figure out why one of your house plants is ill. But the same thing also applies to our cells. They also can only get sick from nutritional deficiencies or lack of water or environmental negativity. Now that we're used to thinking of cancers, carcinogens, and toxins from food additives and stuff like that. But the most potent toxins that cells have to combat are the mental, emotional ones. The I'm no good, nobody loves me, where's my soulmate, I'm in lack. That stuff really gets to the cells quite quickly. And if it hangs around too long, the cells can tolerate it only so long before they start breaking down. And feeling.
And I had heard that cells are always overhearing our thoughts. Is that true?
Well, that's a comical way of putting it. It's not very precise language. The better language would be that we have a habit body, and
uh-huh.
the body is our partner uh-huh. and is always listening to us. And, of course, the cells
okay.
are part of the habit body.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, and one of the things, if I may interrupt, one of the things that I've noticed in my own process of coming back from a space of self-induced depression is that when the body is neglected and, you know, during pregnancy, women take the postnatal vitamins or prenatal vitamins,
mm-hmm.
and the body is born with a certain number of chemicals and things that are in place. And so as we age and the body uses things, there is a need to supplement stuff. And the different chemicals, because the body is an organic compendium of different properties of chemical nature. And so looking at reestablishing and rebalancing those areas also help to balance those thoughts. Because, you know, there's certain things I've been taking recently that I've noticed a very marked and distinct difference when I wake up in the morning. The thoughts I'm having, the moment I awake, I've been having them while I'm sleeping. And it's amazing what happens when you come back into balance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, coming into balance is coming back to homeostasis, no doubt about it.
Right.
So, let me go on if I can. So I'd like to go on to solutions. And, of course, the solutions would be maybe starting with the question, how do we heal? And the way I like to talk about it is that healing is perhaps simply most simply conceived of as removing anything that burdens or oppresses ourselves. Now, of course, lack of water oppresses ourselves, lack of good food oppresses ourselves, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that really is most toxic is our unresolved, unconscious disturbances. And these are the silent killers of ourselves, the silent oppressors, because we don't know about them. And the way that we learn about these unconscious disturbances is that we need each other and we ask each other, because I find that other people can see my problems and dilemmas a lot more clearly than I can. And I wanted to ask everybody on the call if you found that to be true too, that other people can see your problems more simply than you can see them yourself.
You're all thinking.
Well, I can answer no, I don't think so, because people don't know the thoughts that are going through my mind. They may see things on the external level, but they don't always understand the dynamics that either created it. You know, they may see the, it's kind of like when you go to a physician, they may see the results, but they don't see the origin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you can't find the root of the problem, you really can't give a complete diagnostic review, regardless of whether you're a bystander or a physician.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever have the experience of being at a party or with friends and saying, you know, that person, it would be so easy for that person to correct that behavior and it would be such a big improvement. Why don't they see it? Have you ever had that experience?
No.
No. Oh, fascinating. Fascinating. Well, I have that.
I think it's just a matter of we've got our own set opinion, but that isn't necessarily true that would be so easy for that other person. You know, that goes.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So maybe this is not popular on this call, but personally, I found a lot of value from asking other people how they see my problems, because I find that they inevitably have a perspective that I have not considered, and that's been very useful to me. And that's one of the reasons, you know, I see a mentor, because I get a lot of feedback on things that I've been oblivious to.
Mm-hmm.
So to move on a little bit, there's lots of ways to find unconscious disturbances if you don't know what they are. And, of course, a lot of them we do know what they are, you know, negative self-talk and things like that. But I find one of the fastest ways to play with this, especially if you're looking for something that's unconscious, is to ask yourself, what's my willingness to heal on this issue? And if your willingness to heal is high, generally solutions come around very quickly. And that's, of course, really healing. But if my willingness to heal on an issue is low, then it's going to take more time for me to either stumble into solutions myself or to ask enough people to get enough opinions so I can figure out what the heck is happening and then reverse it. Let's see, how can I get that more concrete? I guess the most concrete example is I've been working on increasing my physical vitality, and the issues I thought it might be nutritional turned out to be only a very small part of the problem, and more of them had to do with things in my habit body that were stuck, and history in my habit body that was stuck and had to be cleared. And
mm-hmm. So, Bruce, if somebody's like, this is a totally new concept to somebody who's listening in, how might they just find some simple way of being able to connect to that kind of an answer within themselves?
Yeah, I'm trying to get there, too. Probably the simple way into it is to think about denial a little bit. That
mm-hmm.
if your friends say you're sick and they ask you how you're doing and you say, oh, I'm fine, nothing at all is wrong with me, then we have something about denial going on there. And
mm-hmm.
All that tells me about someone is that they're not listening to their body. And
mm-hmm.
So the people that are listening to their bodies tend to be a lot healthier than the people who aren't listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just about everybody would like to be a good listener of their body, but most people are kind of trained out of it, trained to be insensitive.
Okay. So what's a good way that you could start listening to the body and training yourself to being that much more attentive to yourself and what kind of messages that you're getting?
Well, in the early 70s, there was a book called What to Do Until the Messiah Gets Here. And
okay.
It was about sensitivity training. And
uh-huh.
I find that a lot of people still benefit from that. On the other hand, there's a lot of people who already know that they're sensitive but just don't know what to do with it. And
mm-hmm.
I was listening to somebody on another call talking about clairsentience and how just about everybody is clairsentient, has empathy. If you have empathy, you're clairsentient. That's what they were saying. And I was saying, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because a lot of people could probably relate to that. But what do you do with it? And what you have to do with it is you have to test it, you have to evaluate it, you have to practice it. And that's where the kinesiology testing comes in. That's one of the few ways to test impressions that are vague and at the periphery of your,
okay.
of your consciousness.
Okay, if we have somebody on who hasn't been listening to the last few shows that we've had, how would somebody do that body testing? What would that look like?
Well, the simplest way is to stand up and face forward, so to speak,
uh-huh.
and to think of a time when you were happy and when there was things ahead of you or you were really looking forward to. And notice if your body sways forwards or backwards or side to side or does anything at all.
Okay. And would we just know by the way it sways, or do we have to kind of tell it something before?
Well, you have to
have
a priority here, a contrast here, so you can kind of get your bearings. And the contrast would be, after that, you think of something that you don't want to happen again, something that you really like to avoid. And it could be a person, place, or a thing. And then you notice if you sway forwards or backwards or anything else like that. And what most people find is that they sway forward slightly on the things that they want to go towards in life, and they sway backwards on the things they'd like to avoid in life.
Okay.
And this is a really great way to start testing and validating various impressions that you're sensitive to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can remember when I first learned that and really just started playing with it on a certain level, just that level of trust and continuing to practice it, how it can really evolve and shows you a lot about yourself. It's going to be very fun, you know, especially if you're doing it in a fun, playful way, and just kind of, you know, test as you go to see how things are for yourself. It can be very interesting.
People have to play with it. They have to play with it. It has to be fun. The really fun thing about it, I find, is that if you get good at any form of testing whatsoever, it tends to generalize rapidly into the rest of your life and help make better decisions everywhere, because it increases your confidence about asking questions and about making decisions. And that kind of becomes self-reinforcing. I call that one of the 12 beneficial side effects of kinesiology testing.
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm not sure. We kind of drifted a bit from homeostasis. I guess it kind of goes kind of quickly into tools you can use to come back into balance. And I hope that everybody on the call and everybody listening has a toolbox of energy tools that they use to bring themselves back into balance. And if they don't, they could see more of them at toolsthatheal.com or give me a call, and I'll share a few more with them.
Okay, and what would be a contact number for you if people wanted to check into that?
They could call me at 310-280-1176.
Okay, cool. And I can highly recommend, Bruce has been out to the Flowers for You, which is our shop out in Riverside, California, and we're going to be having him coming out in September for another class, so we're going to be talking about getting that together with him, and we'll be giving you guys updates on the show about what that's going to look like. So that's an exciting thing, so we're excited about that. So anything else? What's just another simple exercise maybe for just checking ourselves, for just being in that place of a balance with our wellness?
Yeah.
To ourselves.
Yeah.
Give me one really great, another good one. That's just a great one, Bruce.
Well, you know, you can just make them up on the spot once you get the idea. For instance, if you wanted to know if you're in balance, you could set yourself a simple scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I'm really in balance, 1 would be take me to the hospital, and give yourself a subjective guess, where am I right now? On a scale of 1 to 10. That's how I'm going to do it for me. So for me, I'm pretty in balance. Let's see if I can put a number on it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8.1234. So I'm 8.4 on a scale of 10. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's excellent, I would say.
How about you, Robin? Do you have a
get a number? Well, in you defining it for me, I just basically just kind of opened myself to a number, and I heard 8. So there you go.
Beautiful.
An 8 right now. Yeah,
beautiful.
That is great.
Beautiful.
How about you, Kathy? What number are you?
I don't have one.
She doesn't have one? She's infinite. You're an infinite goodness.
No, actually,
there you go.
Yeah. Actually, no, I was thinking about it. Nothing's coming.
Nothing's coming.
The only thing that's coming is my cat.
No problem at all.
Her cat is coming? Her cat is coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Now, you
your
could also,
cat is coming.
You mentioned,
I'm my cat. Okay.
You mentioned cats, and you could also do that with animals. You could also ask, you know, how my animal doesn't look too well today. What's its, you know, well-being on a scale of 1 to 10? And you can guess. And if you practice, you'll probably get better.
There you go. There you go. And I think as part of that, too, is just trusting that sense of a message that you do get. on a regular basis, too. Well, I think that's part of it, too, is showing up and trusting.
The way it works, intuition is a combination of self-sensitivity and then self-trust. Mm-hmm. And so these exercises sound inconsequential to people who would like something more intellectual, but actually they're the basis of practicing self-sensitivity, leading to self-trust, which becomes intuition.
Okay. And like I said, it's making it fun. There we go.
Absolutely.
Do you have a jingle for that, making it fun?
I do.
She's got all these wonderful jingles.
Yeah, yeah.
We're having fun, 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 fun. We're having fun, 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 fun. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun, 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 fun. We're having fun, 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 fun. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun.
There you go. We're having fun. All right.
Harmony.
Oh, there she goes.
Harmony. Harmony is a balance in me.
Oh, there you go.
Feeling good. Feeling free. Harmony is a balance in me.
There you go. That's a great question to myself. How, you know, am I feeling free? How much am I feeling free?
I think that might be problematic because free is open to interpretation. And,
well, yeah.
And as long as you're not tied down physically, you're technically free.
Mm-hmm.
But the way to do that would be how free do I feel physically, imaginally, emotionally, mentally, and unconsciously to measure each of those.
Okay.
That would be a better way.
Say that again slower so our listeners can write that down. So one's physical.
You'd measure how free do I feel physically?
Physically.
Imaginally.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally. Mentally. And mm-hmm. unconsciously in my memories, mm-hmm. habits, and behaviors.
Okay.
And see how that. That would give you a better picture.
What, Cass? I heard you say something.
I am not free right now.
You're not free. Okay.
No.
You cost a lot. You're priceless because you're just so. You're priceless. You're not free. She's priceless. Okay. She's so valuable. There's no free here for her. There we go. There's no free lunch.
That's right.
Well, we thank you, Bruce, for coming on. He's always wonderful. And again, you're welcome to come back anytime. So we just really thank you for your time and all the wonderful information that you're giving us. So that's really good. I wanted to have a little bit of time for I always enjoy having our after dinner mint because I really seek to have it be a really positive thing that we can close off the show. And this week was just really good. It was talking about that we confuse who we are with what we do. And we need to consider that in being mindful that we are not our thoughts and we are not our roles that we play. And if we can grow into a new phase of our life and really embrace the fact that we're changing and growing and I'm not, you know, who people might think I am or who I think I am sometimes, and being able to allow ourselves to be in this place of just changing into a new person, a new being, getting out of that box and just opening ourselves to new worlds to explore and enjoy. And there was an affirmation with this. It says, who I am is not what I do. I can change, grow, and evolve into my next wonderful stage of life and enjoy and love the journey. So there you go. Really just coming from a new place of I can ask myself, you know, in each thing for making choices, if you know how my body feels about that choice, whether it be a 10 or a 1, and being able to move into that and feeling confident and all that. So that's another way that we can be utilizing Bruce's wonderful tools, being able to utilize that for ourselves. And how that, and then the fact that something feels like a 10 is definitely something that can help us to feeling balanced and being in our wellness. It's just a really awesome thing to do. So wanted to kind of put that out there for people. Next week, we're going to be having a special chef, Al Diaz, is going to be in the house again. And Al was actually on our first show that we ever had way, way back in March of this year. So we're looking forward to coming back with him. He has a new book out that's called Confirmations, and he's going to be talking about his book. Just to kind of give you guys an update, if you want to check into Al's work and who he's about before we get on live next week, you can go to www.themiracleoflove.com. And his two other books, one's called The Titus Concept, And his second book is Being, the Titus Concept. And it's a formal way of looking at the logical and rational way. Can be very simple in looking at being able to embrace ourselves and having the miracle of love in our lives. So just wanted to go ahead and put that out for you guys. And thank you again for joining us at the cafe. We look forward to dishing out some wonderful new side dishes next week and checking out the appetizers and having a little fun and learning at the very same time. So we thank you guys for joining us. So be tuning in next week, and we will talk to you later. So thanks for joining us.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.